Hey, we got the Skype fired up tonight.
Skype?
Skype?
Oh, Skype.
You have to talk into the microphone.
Is that how that works?
Yes. I don't know if through the first 25 episodes you've realized this, but this is an audio medium.
I thought you just talk into air and then it gets recorded.
I mean, that's pretty much how life works altogether. But nowadays, with all the devices and whatnot, there's no whatnot alarm here in the studio. So I'm just going to...
We need one of those, like, bing.
You know, elements are something that I would say are weak points. We have the tools. We have the capability. I think we can punch things up. Or are you about to flex nuts on me right here, right now?
You know,
attention to that.
We have these. I haven't done anything with them, but we have...
the button, monkey.
We got our timpani, right?
Okay.
Which we stopped using.
We really did stop using.
And then I got one of these.
I feel like that could be utilized on a regular basis.
Yeah, I just keep forgetting to do it.
Fair. And then, all right. What else you got in the
last week? I added this one.
Yeah, go ahead and delete that from the board.
You don't like that one?
Yeah,
that's kind of my favorite.
There's a lot to take. Yeah, we'll just call that one a mulligan.
All right, let's just get into it.
Yeah, this show's gonna be a mulligan. You're looking live from the 16th green at Augusta. This is the Bad Slant Podcast. It's not... Wait, we're approaching master season, right?
Close.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're on the cuspis. I am not...
You gotta save that one.
I said cuspis instead.
Cuspis.
Cusp. We're getting close to master season, so bear with me, folks. We're back.
It is Players Week.
Last
week was Players Week.
You want to try that one again?
The Players Championship.
Okay, fair enough. All right, good to know. For you golf fans, you can tell we're completely initiated. We're back. This is the Bad Slant Podcast. I did not introduce myself as I am wont to do on our previous episode. This is Asian John, joined as always by my man, my right-hand man, Mr. Ice. How goes it, sir?
Yo. Good, yo. Good. So happy to be here.
Yes.
Here.
Attendance-wise.
Here.
Okay, so spoiler alert. Jack was not with us the last episode. I don't know if you could tell.
What? Get out of here.
I didn't want to just come out and say it and let the cat out of the bag, but Jack had some circumstances beyond his control that prevented him from taking part in last week's show. And spoiler alert again, those same circumstances have taken hold this week. We are sans Jack, but this gravy train rolls on. We will
keep He's still part up. Of the show, don't worry.
We haven't written him off. You know what's funny? It was his birthday week, or jam day, as we refer to it. I was really tempted to actually print him an attendance certificate, like certificate of perfect, because I'm fairly certain he'd been perfect up until 2 weeks ago. Like, he was like rock solid. Like you can set your watch to it. Like, I was actually really proud of him. Like, his life
would have been pretty funny.
His life, dictates certain aspects. Well, his family, I should say, like, dictates certain aspects of his schedule. So the fact that he can make it out on a regular basis and to actually beat you here was actually really something I thought was meriting recognition. But of course, as I'm like hitting print on the computer, he gives us the hot text and says, "I'm out this week and next,
peace,
boys." So struggle on without me, but we do that regardless. So our best wishes to Jack. Hopefully we get him back in some capacity in the next few weeks.
Week.
But
yep.
Usual show business. You can find us at badslant.com, Instagram and Twitter at badslant, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher. I'm running out of air because I forgot to take a breath. Leave us a 5-star review. And subscribe wherever you can, and support us on Amazon.com and Target.com. So this is no sale associated with our spotlight item of the week, but it's something that I feel like as a fitness enthusiast, is something that's worthwhile for anybody that's trying to get back in shape. We're past the new year resolution, new year, new me thing. But Cellucor C4 pre-workout is something that's pretty omnipresent when it comes to the fitness game. A lot of folks using that. Like, you've seen like the maniacs that just like they take the pre-workout powder and they just go straight down the gullet.
Straight?
No water. Just Holy moly. Right down the gullet. And that's not crazy. That's not the level of hardcore that I've reached.
Snort
it. Yeah. You might have to chop it up. It's a little grainy. But there are times, like, I work out at this rate 6 days a week.
Damn, so
we can talk about that. We can talk about that further later in the show.
That's crazy.
But there are days where you're dragging ass and you gotta have an extra pick me up and a cup of coffee won't do it. And you know it gets to be a little repetitive having to drink coffee like two or three times a day. So
have you tried it? Have you like it or
drinking coffee two or three times a day?
No, the C4.
Yes. So the tingles aspect of it.
The tingles.
It is what was advertised and what I was most afraid of going into the experiment. But you get used to it. Not so much where it's a good thing, but it does get you in the right frame of mind and physical state to do a workout, especially if you're doing it at the volume that I'm doing. So that little push helps. They got a whole shit. Load of flavors. That's probably not something I want to say during a spot. Cellucor.
Well, they have three versions, right?
So
the original C4, that's the one that gives you the tingles. That's the one I tried first as well. And holy hell, like I wasn't expecting like
it's a problem.
I wasn't expecting that kind of tingle, and then but I think over time you get used to it. It's no big deal. But
the hair showed up.
But it does work. Oh. I mean, it does give you the focus and the energy to work out a little harder and with more intensity and stuff. So it definitely works. But one day when I had to reload, I went and I bought the wrong C4. But what I didn't realize, there's another version of C4 where it doesn't give you the tingles.
They're always tweaking the formula. I know that's something like some people actually want the tingles, some people don't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it depends on your perspective. But there's a version out there for you, and it's available.
And I believe it's called Sport. C4 Sport. Okay. The C4 original is the one that gives you the tingles, which some people actually kind of like.
Yeah.
But then if you don't want the tingles, if it's just like too much for you, I believe it's C4 Sport. That one doesn't have the tingles.
If you don't want the junky itch, you will not get the original. Get the Sport.
But it's not bad.
It's not bad. If you're so inclined, give it a shot. You can get it on Amazon.com, Target.com. The Fruit Punch I hear is very good, I'm a fan of the Blue Razz. So give those a shot and get yourself in a better state. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we're going to need to get ourselves in a better state after this episode because we're going to indulge. There was something we brought up in the last couple episodes, a couple weeks ago, about Taco Bell's newest offering, let me just pivot here. we're going to try some indulgent foods, but... Without our primary third wheel, we've enlisted the help.
Yeah, you gotta let him in.
I guess so. Based on the vociferous response from our audience about last week's special guest host, we decided to bring him back for another go.
Damn right.
It is again James Madison University alumna, owner of a collection of designer vinyl pop figures, and again. Semi-decent poker player.
Prayer.
Jesus Christ, I'm dying.
How many have you had?
Probably about four or five. Right. It's Brian. He's back, folks. Welcome him back to the show.
How's it going,
brother?
What's up?
Yeah.
I feel like I was just here.
You may well have been. You got a fresh Pepsi in front of you, though, and an old-fashioned. So yeah. I think you're ready to go for another round.
A Pepsi and an old-fashioned.
And they're feeding me, so.
Yeah, yeah. We're feeding you booze and actual sustenance in that we... we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The Taco Bell rattlesnake fries and burrito. Yeah. We didn't jump to it right away, and I think we tried to.
Oh my God!
Sweet Jesus
Sorry.
Christ!
Sorry about that,
man. Someone's a little excited, blowing the horns out of our cans. So Taco Bell has these rattlesnake fries and the rattlesnake burrito. I don't even know if they're really pushing it that hard. I mean, do you feel like they're throwing like the full marketing weight behind it?
They are. It's like I didn't.
I'm
think,
missing it, I guess.
I didn't think so as well. But then the past week of watching regular TV, it's come up so many times where I'm just like, how have I not had this yet? Like I really need to try this.
So we should say like it's really not that easy to find a Taco Bell around us for some damn reason. They closed the one in Vienna. The other one that's in Annandale, that's a little out of the way for where we are, and you know it's a hunt, man. I'm telling you. It hasn't been as convenient to try to get to them, but we decided to just go for broke get it delivered hot, fresh to the house. We've wasted enough time just kind of staring at it. So we've got the fries. You want to go fries first?
Yeah, let's do that.
I've heard rave reviews on the fries. So we've all got a little plate here in front of us. So we're just going to go ahead and dive on in. So this is the Rattlesnake steak fries. So obviously there is a protein component to this. Like you hear fries and you think, there's just going to be, you know, carbs and God knows what else. But we described it before. There's a cheese, jalapenos, grilled steak, marinated steak, and a rattlesnake sauce. Mm. I don't know what exactly is in the rattlesnake sauce. I'm a little trepidatious, to say the least.
So I remember when we spoke about this. So, you know, I think I was pretty excited because prior to this, I think actually it may have been our last tasting episode. We did the McDonald's version of the cheese, the bacon cheese fries.
Yes.
And I think we all agreed that one was pretty good. While
pretty
it was
damn good. And
while,
cold.
While it was cold, it was still somehow pretty damn good. So I'm really curious to see how this one plays out.
Please pardon the silence as we savor the flavor.
Man, it's got some heat. It's all right.
He's already come out with his review.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine.
I'm going to dive into it more here later.
I'm going in for a second tasting here. I just got a few fries. So, but first off, this is, I guess, the upgraded version of the nacho fry, which personally I haven't had to this point.
They're delicious.
I was actually tempted to get the nacho fry to compare versus the rattlesnake fry, but
people would just probably look at you like, why? We do got the rattlesnake version.
Yeah, the Grubhub guy is really going to give me the stink eye.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, right. Since you're ready to jump out of the chute,
mm-hmm.
What do you think of the rattlesnake steak fry?
You know, I've had the nacho fries, so it's okay. It's all right. I mean, it's no naked chicken chalupa. You know what I mean? It's not like naked a game-breaking Taco Bell item. You know what I mean? That was game-breaking if you didn't catch my drift.
Naked chicken chalupa.
He ain't the best colored man in the business for nothing.
You don't remember the naked chicken chalupa?
I actually don't. Is that your go-to when it comes to Taco Bell?
Yeah, I mean, it had like instead of the taco shell, it was a chicken patty, and then they just filled that with lettuce and cheese and stuff.
It's that whole thing where they wanted to use chicken as like the breading component for like a sandwich or something.
Yes.
Didn't Burger King do that?
Did they really? No, I remember the KFC with the double down.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Also delicious.
That was
what it was.
Did you have one of those too?
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
That's gonna be
an instant heart attack, but it was really good.
That's going to be one of those things I go to my my grave regretting not having had in my life.
Yeah, so worth it.
Yeah.
Is understood. It gone?
I don't think they have the double downs anymore, man.
Yeah.
They're fried chicken breasts serving as the buns for a sandwich.
Sounds incredible.
I mean, there wasn't really anything between the buns or the chicken breast either. It was like a piece of bacon and cheese.
Like cheese. Yeah, and some sauce or something.
Really stretching the bounds of what a sandwich really was. Ice, what say you?
This is good.
Oh.
It is.
I was a little worried about the pasta.
This is really, really good. I actually like this better than the McDonald's one.
Okay, is this demonstratively better than the regular nacho fries that they have?
Yeah, the only reason why I say that is because the jalapeno, for me, it's the jalapenos and the slight kick in the sauce, whatever the sauce is. Like, maybe this is a slightly spicier cheese sauce, but just that little kick, I think, makes it a world of a difference for me. I like spicy food, so anything that has an extra punch into it, extra bite in this case, I like it a lot, actually. The only downside is, again, I think it's due to delivery and maybe like the timing of when we're tasting. It's the fries aren't crispy, right? Because it's a little soggy. It's probably because it's been sitting in this for a little bit. But I'm sure if you go and sit down and while the fries are fresh and you get all the sauce and the hot steak and the jalapeno, it might be like one of the best cheese fries out there.
We need a better system. Like, right? this is two tasting shows in a row.
Do we just do a live podcast from the Taco Bell?
I mean, Burke Center Parkway location. We're coming hot. I mean, that's really the only way I feel like we can get to that moment where it comes out of the hopper and it's fresh and hot and gives us the best opportunity to taste it the way that it is intended to be tasted. But
on the bright side, it is good for our listeners because they get a sense of, like, by the time they go to pick it up on drive-thru, make it home, sit down, get situated, open it up, then take their first bite. It could be in the state that we're eating it. So.
No, that's dumb. You know what? You get it from the drive-thru and park. And then you just go to town because I can't see
just
any
take
others.
Off your shirt, sit, do the whole maneuver.
Yes, the maneuver, as it were. So if you're not a podcast listener, the maneuver is the thing where you get drive-through fast food, you pull over, take your shirt off, and then eat fast food while you listen to podcasts. So that's something I feel like that needs to be spread outside of the Big O and
that
Duke
needs
community.
To make a comeback.
I've done it before. Yeah. We're trying to enlighten. It's something that for members of or fans of the Big O and Duke show, the podcast, that's something that happens. It happens in show lore, and it's something that fans will continue to do. And we've done it a time or two, I think. And you know, we're gonna spread it to our listening audience. So please, if you're doing the maneuver, let us know so we can tell the proprietors of said maneuver that it's happening elsewhere in the world. From my perspective, those are fantastic. I do share your sentiment in that I wish that the fries had a crispier texture to them, but I mean, there's really nothing we can do. I also think it kind of falls into the trappings of a typical nacho, where you have so much moisture and sauce and so many components on top of it that it will end up just taking any crispness you have from the dish itself and just sucking it away because it's in a container. There's going to be condensation. It's going to build up in the thing. You can't get away from it. So unless you're getting it straight out of the fryer and pulling over to eat it right away, it's something that you really can't get away from. But all that is to say, everything they put together flavor-wise is fantastic.
It's amazing.
Protein, you can't go wrong with steak the way that they do it. They actually have the pickled jalapeno, which I like. I'm actually someone who wants to see more fresh jalapeno on a lot of dishes, but
I feel like that's a turn off for the general public, though.
Really? Probably.
Like, too much heat, you know what I mean? Like a little bit too much heat.
Interesting.
Okay, compromise. So the pickled jalapeno is ubiquitous now. Like, you get those on nachos pretty frequently. The grilled jalapeno is something I haven't seen pretty much anywhere.
Who
really.
Does that?
I don't know. I feel like I might see it like at a boutique restaurant, but it's something that needs to happen more because everyone's scared shitless when it comes to fresh jalapeno. Did you shit the bed? What the hell?
The
good lord.
Fuck.
Yeah. Someone just evacuated on the floor just being so excited about the rattlesnake fries.
Yummy.
Delicious. So I think the pickle jalapeno is fine, but it doesn't bring enough heat more times than not, at least for my sake. So if there was another way to present the jalapeno, I think it would actually improve it for me, but I think for the vast majority of people that enjoy nachos in general, this should be fine.
Maybe they should serve it on the side and then you kind of
garnish as needed.
And then keep the jalapenos with like all the seeds and stuff.
Yes. Don't de-seed jalapenos. Yes. If you ask them to, or if you're a restaurant that does jalapenos on anything and you de-seed it, you're kind of missing the point, aren't you?
Right.
But yeah, there's heat in the sauce. There's heat with the jalapeno. For me, besides the texture of the fry, everything works. So I'll be the first to venture a rating scale, a rating for the dish itself. I'll say that's a strong 4.
Ooh.
Strong 4. Not a strong 8.
Wait, that's out of 5?
Yeah, 4 out of 5. Yes. Brian, what say you?
I'm tasting like the hot fries in my mouth. You know what I mean? Like that would probably make the difference.
Oh,
I'll say 4.
Wait.
I'll go 4.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
I don't want to influence your.
It's like, you know, I'm gonna say 3 because they're cold. You know what I mean? But like,
overall.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, you're imagining
temperature makes a hell of a difference.
Oh yeah, for sure. So if you have to imagine these were fresh,
imagine hard.
I would say 4 then.
4 with the flavor profile. I tend to agree, but I would say it's a 4 or 5 for me, man. Ooh. Like I really do think it's badass, man. This thing is delicious.
Swinging out there on the limb.
It's very, very good. It's like I don't know. It's like it's the perfect cheese fries. Like it has everything that you want. It has that little kick. It has steak.
I feel like that's bold.
and even the fries itself. Imagine if this was fresh and crispy, and just imagine like the seasoning that's on the fry itself. It's really good. It's like, if you haven't had the regular nacho fries, it's probably like in the realm of like a Popeyes, right? It's like that season type French fry.
Popeyes is delicious.
But it's so good. Very good.
I don't want to take that in the wrong way, but I have to say that the Popeyes fry goes wrong more often than not for me.
Really?
Because the seasoning profile is perfectly fine. I'm all with the Cajun seasoning. But they always end up where we find ourselves now, where the fry isn't crisp. They're usually limp.
Always?
Almost always. That's crazy. It's to the point where I won't even venture to get the Cajun fry.
Well, that's why you get the Cajun rice. Ooh. I mean, I don't even exactly. know why you're getting
yes. Cajun rice.
Full pivot. Yeah. Like, yes. Mashed potatoes and Cajun rice.
Oh,
that,
delicious.
Yes. That's a great winning combination. Pull the curtain back a little bit. Definitely got into a little tiff with the wife because she got a taste of the steak rattlesnake fries before we could actually get our hands on them first.
Uh-huh.
And she was ready for a second tasting before we could do the first tasting on the show. I was like, you got to calm down. Like,
we should send this back to her.
We got more than enough to do it, but if I don't know. We don't have an associate producer to run these downstairs. So
Jack?
Butt awkward. Yeah.
I'm not going to play that role.
Don't. Not going to play that game.
Should we move on to our next item? Fine.
No. Yes, we should. I don't know why. I said no and yes at the same time. So there's one other item, the rattlesnake burrito.
Burrito.
A lot of the same components, but instead it's wrapped inside a tortilla. So please, gentlemen, have at it.
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm looking at it. I see the fries, the cheese, the steak. Yep. That's almost exactly
that. That's all of it. So I see everybody has sauce in front of them.
Did you get any Diablo?
I did.
Is it really hot? I don't think I've had a Diablo.
I have it. I'm going to give it a shot here.
Well, that's one thing I was going to ask you guys. What's your, like, heat level anyway? You know what I mean? Like, where are you guys on the scale?
We start at fire.
Like, if you go to Halal Guys, how many lines of red hot sauce are you getting? You know what I mean?
Ooh. That one, I think I do two. That's pretty hot.
I'm good with two.
I think two is a pretty good baseline. I mean, I go back to the original, like, New York, the food cart for Halal Guys, where I say, like, dots. Like, dot, mm-hmm. dot, dot. Lines is kind of a new thing. I feel like that's something that came up with the advent of the franchise version of Halal Guys, where they do the lines.
So is it because do they make it less spicy so they can do lines instead of dots?
Oh, no. I think it's the same level of spicy.
It is pretty hot.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you've had your first taste?
This is pretty good. I put it above the fries by themselves.
Wow. What reason gives? Can you say merits ranking them higher than the fries?
There's just something about burritos and them being able to kind of, you know, evenly move the ingredients throughout. You know what I mean? Mm. Because like the fries, I'm looking at them. There's two giant jalapenos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then a bunch of cheese and stuff. So it's like, you know what I mean? Even distribution.
I understand your argument. Ice, what say you?
This is awesome, man. This is great.
You ain't the best color man in the business for nothing.
This is just as good as the fries, and I love the fries. You heard me. I just gave it a 4.5. But it's now wrapped in tortilla, which is even better. And again, if this thing was fresh, I'm sure this tortilla would be soft. But right now it's a little hard. But no, it's still good though. Even with the kind of like the texture of
use
what
your
it
words.
Is. Yeah, I don't know any other way to describe
it. It's the hardened tortilla.
Think about the burritos that's been sitting out and then just getting tougher over time. And yeah, I didn't even think it was that long. This thing got tough. Like, it's really chewy.
That's the big conundrum when it comes to Mexican food. Or especially the ones where they give you, like, the fajitas and they have the tortillas mm-hmm. on the side. You take that top off and you leave it out there, you're voting pretty much.
I'm surprised at how tough it is. Yeah. But I'm sure if it was fresh, this thing would be probably really, it would be bomb, man.
I didn't really have too much of an issue with the texture of the burrito, honestly. It reminds me very much, as someone who's lived in San Diego, you should know this, the California burrito.
With the fries in it, right?
They pack the French fries in there. Like, it's in that same vein, but they punch it up a notch with the rattlesnake sauce, the grilled jalapenos, or I'm sorry, the pickled jalapenos. It all works. And you know what? I'm probably getting more heat off of this because I use the Diablo sauce.
Is that thing really hot?
It's not killing me. It's not halal, guys, as we were discussing previously, but go for it. Yeah. It wasn't anything that... I mean, fire sauce is still good. I don't have any qualms with that. I do have a little warmth on the outside of the rim of my mouth, but otherwise, it's good. I dug it. I'll keep the consistency from the last tasting and venture the first score and say that's a 4 or 5. That is tremendous.
That is hotter.
Yeah.
The Diablo sauce?
Mm-hmm. It's not earth-shatteringly hot, but it is definitely hotter than your standard fire sauce, which we mentioned. It's kind of the baseline for we come to Taco Bell and try to spice.
Yeah.
Our food's up. Ice, what say you?
I will stick with a 4-5. I don't think it, for me, I don't think it moves up to a 5, but it's really damn good, man. It's rock solid. If you ever happen to pass by a Taco Bell and you're hungry, please do stop by and get any rattlesnake anything. I feel like this could be the beginning of a rattlesnake thing that they could do in
the rattlesnake revolution.
They can put all this stuff in their tacos, on a quesadilla.
I would put this as a sauce on the side. Like, I'd put this in packets and call it a day.
Because the sauce itself is good. The fact that it's served with jalapenos is great. And then you throw in the protein of a steak on top of that, it's even better. So,
man, if they did like carne asada, good lord.
Bam.
Well, so is this like a common food thing, like a rattlesnake? Is that like a common term for?
I don't
like
think
hot
so. I think this
like,
is
that, you know what I'm saying.
Like, this seems like a proprietary blend of seasonings and spices.
Okay,
like,
and this is new for them.
I don't know if it was like Nashville hot chicken. You know what I mean? Even though those recipes differ, also, but you know what I mean. There's,
but
like
I mean, the core tenets of it are pretty consistent. Yeah,
I don't know if there was a rattlesnake flavor profile.
No, there's no rattlesnake neighborhood in Puebla. That they're just churning this stuff out. Brian, what did you think of the burrito? The burrito.
I'm gonna say 4.5.
Wow, we're in sync.
Yeah, this is.
Don't play dirty pop, all right? Because we're in sync.
But, dirty pop.
No. But we're.
Or do play dirty pop?
Don't. Nope. As a principal of the show, I'm just gonna go ahead and say nay to that. All right. Well, I think this is.
Did you guys see the episode of Conan when they went to the Taco Bell Taste Center?
I did.
Oh, the one in New York?
No, I think it was in like California or something. Hmm. But it was funny because it's like there's a place where all they do is come up with these creations.
Shit,
and
the side of my mouth is actually burning now. Sorry, go ahead.
It may be because of the Diablo, right?
Totally the Diablo. Okay. Yeah.
But they have these testers that come in, these just random people that they opted into to test random dishes, whether they make it to the menu or not. And they get, you know, unbiased.
Yes, I'll take that job.
Right? I mean, I'm sure they're not all winners, but can you imagine the folks that came in and tried this for the very first time? It's like
just completely turgid and like, oh my god, like this, like, is everything we want Taco Bell to be going forward.
Yeah, stutters. I would, yeah. But at the same time, out of curiosity, I would love to be the ones to taste the crap that they put together. I just want to know, like, how could you mess up? I don't know. This
rattlesnake cottage cheese sounded so good on paper.
If you just take the variety of ingredients that they have at a Taco Bell and just think of the weirdest ones and pair them together, I just don't think you can really go wrong. But I guess apparently you can.
What parts of the Taco Bell menu have you like explored?
I don't
that
like
we don't know.
I don't like sour cream. So,
okay, fair enough.
I think you put sour cream in anything.
But they put that on everything.
I know.
Yeah.
So I got it. Every time I order something, I got to say no sour cream.
Supreme is not even in my vocabulary. All right. Taco Supreme, Nacho Supreme, none of that.
Is the only thing that make it a Supreme the cream?
Yes.
But
I'm pretty sure that's it.
That's the only thing, right?
It's literally that.
Why did you just call it Supreme?
Got him. All right. Good night. We're done.
I knew there was a reason why we had him on the show.
Got him.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Supreme.
Can we never mention secrete? Oh, I guess
that sounds kind of gross.
I might have a new show title here. All right. Well, I don't know how. Well done, sir. Like you
stumbled. Done.
You have God, me at a loss. I just want to do squat thrusts from this point forward. we might need to because we've only had a few bites.
Can you imagine how many calories were in that?
I don't even want to. Because they do that whole bit now. Like your McDonald's of the world where they put the caloric content for all the foods.
Do they do that at Taco Bell now too?
I don't know. I feel like
they have to, right?
I don't know if it's mandated just yet. I mean, I know McDonald's wants to get on the forefront of that. Like they want to be the innovator and they want to have transparency because they're losing market share. But
does that sway you guys when you go to a fast food place and they show the calories next to all the dishes that you would normally get or you intended on getting and then all of a sudden now you see the numbers next to it? Does that sway you?
Not at all.
It does have me a little fucked up. It doesn't stop me from ordering what I'm going to order, but it does have
me. I'm not going to lie. It fucks me up. It changes my order completely every single time. I go in with a craving, and I go in there with a mission to get what I wanted. And then seeing those numbers, and you're like,
how many days of sodium I have in here?
Yeah, and then you're like,
three?
Okay, so if I just take the version without the cheese, then I save about 100 calories. If I take the one without the bread, then you know,
there's too much calculus.
Yeah,
that's too much for me.
Yeah,
I'm more of a intermittent fasting.
Oh, so you're gonna eat the Taco Bell and then not eat for 2 days?
Well, so what? Basically, I just skip dinner, and that's not on purpose.
It's that's
because
dope,
I'm lazy.
Yeah,
but that's basically intermittent fasting, right?
Is that really how it works?
I don't know if that's how
isn't it just a block of time that you're like, I'm not going to eat during this block of time?
I'm not sure that's how the internet describes it.
But sometimes it's like, I know what you're saying.
Samsonite.
What the fuck?
No, never mind. Dumb and Dumber reference.
I mean, I get that.
I was way off.
So sometimes it's like, like some of these places when you go and get like their full value meal, and if you actually complete it all, you don't need
dinner. You complete all right.
Yeah. If you eat all the fries, the drink, the side, like, you know, at Wendy's when they got that 4 for $4 where you get the sandwich, the nuggets, the fries, and the soft drink, if you finish all of that, I don't feel like I need my next meal. Like I'm good for the rest of the day.
You're going to hit pause after that?
Yeah. I just eat like a big lunch and then it's like I don't have room for dinner really, you know?
Do you want to know how many calories are in the large fry at McDonald's?
I'm scared to
know. It's going
to
fuck your day up.
275.
Oh, shit, right?
For a large?
You're kidding me. That has to be way more than
375.
No way. Keep going. I would say I'm going to, for a large fry, I'm going to guess is in the realm of like 600, 700.
You were closer than he was, 500.
Five, yeah.
And
I was getting there.
Yeah, you were not. I actually grabbed the large fry on a lark the other day just because I foresaw an arduous commute home.
So I need fries in the car.
I was like, you know what, I'm feeling a bit peckish. I'm gonna go ahead and grab these fries here. And coincidentally, the Capitals were leading after the first period the night before, so that entitled me to
free large fry
with a purchase of anything else. So
so what was the anything else?
Large Coke. So your boy gets a 230 calorie large Coke and a 500 calorie large fry from McDonald's. Ask me if either of those things survive the 45-minute trip home.
You're better off just getting a Big Mac.
Eh. No.
Or a quarter pounder.
No.
Do you count calories usually? Like, are you like?
I like to think that I'm pretty good as far as maintaining a consistent diet. In that, I will eat the same exact thing every day for 5 days for lunch.
But is it to fit like a specific like dietary structure, or it's just kind of eating healthy?
I'm just kind of winging it. Like okay. I'll try to stick to lean proteins and the whole lot, and the indulgence will happen more times than I would actually care for it to happen. Like I'll get hungry at the end of the day and then screw up and have your large fry and large Coke. It happens more times than I would care to admit, but otherwise, like from 4 o'clock and before, like I'm pretty good as far as just lean proteins and grains and the whole lot.
Yeah, the first half of the day is usually the best part of the day,
but easy
because it's like that's the stuff you control, that's the stuff you can do meal prep for, no big deal. But yeah, by the evening when you're like, I'm tired, I just need convenience at this point. So whatever I can eat that's like within arm's reach with something that's fast, something that can deliver.
something I can pick up on my commute somewhere. Like, unfortunately, they're all unhealthy.
Yes. I take all this into consideration, and I try to balance all these terrible habits of mine by spending 6 days in the goddamn gym.
You're a psychopath, man.
I'll say this. It's not my preferred schedule making, if I'm being completely honest. It's not like anyone's putting a gun to my head, but I've gotten to the point where I'm at the very minimum when we go through phases, or I go through phases rather, when it comes to exercising. So at certain points of the year, it's 4 days out of seven. And right now I'm currently in a 6 days out of seven situation. They got the bulk phase and the shred phase, and I guess I'm in the shred, but except I'm eating Taco Bell and rattlesnake fries, so I'm just really just negating all the good work that I'm doing.
At least you did something in the day that it kind of offsets it. Somehow.
Just not today.
Just not today.
No, not today. Time got away from old Asian John here. but I do feel like the whole I'm rambling here, but the internet has done a weird thing where they've made working out cool, I guess. I mean, do you guys feel like that's something that's kind of permeated in the last couple of years where, you know, people worked out because, you know, people wanted to, or they felt pressure to do that. But now it just seems like there's the in thing to do, because what you see on Instagram, everybody's healthy and taking supplements and wearing pants that don't fit them. And, you know, like that thing seems to be kind of permeating society and culture in general, so it's kind of the norm. Like, am I alone in thinking of that?
I'll let Brian take a stab first.
I'm just gonna say that I don't think you're alone in thinking that. I think there's definitely a push for being healthier in general. But like your point about the internet, I just feel like it's made everything cool that wasn't you know what I mean? Because you have pops. A connection now to so many people.
Comic
that
books.
Are interested in the same thing.
People of color.
Yeah, like people like make legit money playing video games now. You know what I mean? Like
playing Magic.
We do this fruitless endeavor for next to no money. Yeah, actually, it's costing us money. But right? there are people playing video games and getting paid for it.
That's insane, man.
Dude, like there's
ridiculous.
I mean, do you guys play? Are you guys gamers?
No.
Ask me.
All right. Well, so they have the Overwatch.
Hey, Jack.
League. Are you guys familiar with Overwatch? I guess.
I yes. know it's a thing, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so they have an Overwatch League, and they have legit teams. Like, Robert Kraft owns the Boston team.
Ted Leonsis.
Of the Overwatch League.
Yeah, he just started a team recently.
Ted Leonsis of your Washington Capitals.
Like, there's real money in it.
I almost said Redskins. Jesus.
I think there's, like, an article just came out about, like, one of the highest paid Twitch players, this guy named Ninja.
Oh, I heard about that.
He apparently got paid $1 million to play Apex on the day that it was released. Like just to host it on your stream for like 3 days, $1 million.
Sidebar, old Brian here tried to give the hard sell for Apex Legends as a worthwhile discussion topic.
And I don't know if it was a hard sell.
Yeah.
I feel like it was Apex Legends ? And then no, and then that's pretty much.
I think the only thing I know about Apex Legends was that's
you
the
know
game.
Something about Apex Legends.
The only thing I know, I believe that was the game that had that incredible trailer for it, right? It was like something recently where it was just very cinematic and
Brian, he's
I
asking
didn't
you
to see the trailer.
Oh, you, no.
it's free, so I downloaded it and then I just can't stop playing it.
Can't stop. Well, I think the words
that won't stop.
The words you mentioned to me, yeah, you mentioned every night for like the last 3 weeks. What time are you playing the game until?
That's accurate. 1:30
1:30 in the morning. The addiction is real. If you can't tell, Brian has something of an addictive personality.
That's very true.
I'm starting to pick that up.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Funko Designer Pops and Apex Legends. But I guess we all have our addictions. I mean, getting back to what we were talking about, like aside from the fact that like fitness seems to be kind of an in thing now, like it's gotten to a point where it's a part of my daily routine. It's not something that I need to carve out time for. It's understood that, okay, after a certain hour of the day, I've gotten the bulk of what I need to get done at home and with work, and it's workout time. And there's really, I don't see it as an additional action. It's just part of my regular regular day on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, just wait till you have kids one day. That's going to change everything.
Mm. I got dogs. Is that similar?
Not quite.
I guarantee they pee and poop more often.
Probably, yeah, because they don't over time. I guess no, you should be able to train them. Mm. So no,
you would think. Nah, man.
See, the whole reason I don't work out because it's cool. I don't work out because that's like my passion. I work out because my family is fat. Like I got fat genes in my family, right? So like
were they JNCOs?
Hey-o. Hi-o. Oh, I love JNCOs. But.
Ironically, I don't think JNCOs were made for fat people.
No, they're not.
They're like rave jeans.
They're like rave jeans.
It's like so you could fit all the fucking glow sticks in your pocket. You know what I mean? You gotta have like 17 different glow stick colors.
In a waist size 30.
No. And they're all like attached to strings because they all do that.
I think our pal back in the day, he used his JNCO jeans to hide 40s because they were so freaking wide in there.
40 smuggle. Hands. Good old days.
Smuggle contraband. That's what he used them for.
Yeah, but like my family, man, I can see from a mile away, like the family genes is just everyone's thick, you know? Like I've seen it growing up.
Is that T-H-I-C-C?
Like Robin Thicke?
Yeah, there we go. I guess. Anyways, so everyone's
I just wanted to see if I can beat it, and you know, so for
like
a while,
Michael Jackson. What? Oh.
So I tried just to write it out to see if it was in my genetic trait and if it was in my genes, and it definitely is. If I just don't do anything, if I just eat this one little bite of this rattlesnake fry here, I'll gain a pound. I'll gain 2 pounds, you know, and it'll stick. And so like for me,
it's that's a fat dream.
Like I need to work out. Like I don't want to. I can play sports. Playing sports is one thing where it's like that's
sports games.
Playing sports is a passion for me. Working out is not. Yeah. It feels like a chore. Like I really don't like being there, and I feel like, you know, it creeps me out, like seeing like the hardcore gym folks just like, oh yeah, me. Bro, and then they like sweat, and then they're like, yeah, bro, and then they got their shakes in their hands and all that. You know, it's just it's a bit much for me. It's intimidating. Like I'm scared to be there.
I'm gonna do a whole goddamn episode of what I consider to be gym faux pas because going to the gym 6 days a week, it exposes you to a whole myriad of flaws and weird tendencies that people who go to the gym more than they should seem to exhibit over time. Like I could go on for days. It's maddening. You know, the basic thing is like having to wait for somebody to get free with a machine, and they're just shit.
They hog up a whole bunch of shit. Man.
Oh
they,
man,
they just take their time, and you're like, I'm like, right. Excuse me, are you finished with this? They're like, no, I'm still using this one, and then they don't really use it.
They're doing a set cycle, man. You gotta let them do their thing, man.
Except like, they're fat. You know what I mean?
Like that's why they're doing the cycle.
Some bitch has been on the machine for 45 minutes and he's still fat. Like, how the fuck is this happening?
It doesn't happen in a day, John. You know what I mean?
Except he's there every goddamn day doing the same stupid shit.
You do see the same people every single day.
You're the guy. You're the guy.
Actually, it's you.
You're the guy.
I can't tell you how quickly I'm running between machines. Just
you don't know what it's like for
sprinting.
Overweight people like us.
No, I seen it. I seen y'all move.
All right, the struggle is so real.
Move at a glacial pace. You know how that thrills me.
I think because I'm so turned off by these other folks in there, like when I'm using machine, I try to like go in and get out. Just like I know the amount I have to do, the sets I have to do, and then I'm out. Like I try to be as efficient as possible, and I'm trying to hurry up and get out the gym too.
Gotta get these kids, man.
Yeah. So for me, like I'm really efficient. Like I go in, I have my whole workout in my to-do list with subtasks of how many sets per thing I have to do. So as I go in, I just like, I check things off. Like I check it and just like, bam, done.
Wait, is it an bam. App that you're using or what?
Yeah, I'm using it's not a workout app. It's a to-do list app. So.
Oh, you're special.
I'll show you.
Do you write down like the numbers of like, you know, I did this many reps of this.
So basically,
I stretched and saw my own asshole for 17 uninterrupted minutes.
So this is my what I call my day two. It's my chest, shoulders, and triceps. And
that's really inefficient.
I have each I have each workout.
Sorry to call you through the carpet here, but good lord.
And then like I know the number of the weights that I tend to use, and then if I'm feeling better that day because of my C4, I tend to up the weights.
Oh, aren't those like all push muscles? Like, isn't that a thing?
That's a push day.
Yeah, that's a push. Thing, right? So it's not like really inefficient. That's like a thing.
As far as the workout itself, I can't speak to whether or not the workout itself is efficient or inefficient. No, it's the mechanism in which he's checking off the boxes that is really inefficient.
I got you.
What do you mean?
Be that as it may. I'm not gonna hustle.
It's very portable. I see these motherfuckers going there with like notepads and clipboards. I'm like, fuck that. That's like, that's the whole point. You carry these fucking phones with you. You're already listening to music. Use it.
This is who we should have been plugging as a sponsor or trying to get as a sponsor. Bodybuilding.com.
Oh yeah.
For the love
of Christ. They have a great app.
It's fantastic. They have all the workouts, all the programs. You can custom make your own workouts to if you want to.
Is that what you use?
Yes. If you want to do the same shit every, or you want to do the same 5 days of exercises every week, you can build your own workouts.
No.
It's totally there at your fingertips. Wow. You're the tech guy. And I'm just...
Don't you have to pay for a bodybuilding app?
Nope.
It's free?
F-R-E-E.
I used it when there was like that promo code with the BODE code. So
the BODE code?
That's the only time I used it. And I thought once the trial ended that... I had to pay, so I stopped.
It's almost like a social media platform at this point because they have people with accounts and they show progress pictures, the whole lot. Everyone wants to be an Instagram fitness model, but the people I've seen on there are not.
Nice. I'll check it out.
But give it a shot. It, you can automate all the things. You can do the weights, the whole lot. I highly recommend it. Please sponsor me.
Is it like the CrossFit community where they're like, you're doing such a great job, believe in yourself.
Yeah, sick abs, bro. Progress. I haven't like scrolled down the feed to see what people are saying when someone else posts a progress pic. So,
dude, I told you this story, John, but I don't think I've told Brian. But I used to try all these different diets because you know again I'm trying to fight my fat gene. And so I reached out to a buddy of mine I just needed help. I was going to hire a nutritionist at some point. So I was just like, hey, I see it's working for you. So I was just like, would you be up for helping me out? And then, you know, I'll pay you for your time. And so we started talking and he was like, yeah, I'll help you out. He put together a fitness plan and a nutrition plan. So he told me what I need to eat every week, what I need to avoid.
What was the goal here? Like weight loss or like cutting up?
I mean, the
kill end, fat gene.
The end goal for me, the way I explained it to him is, I feel unhealthy. Like I have.
Do you really feel unhealthy?
I do.
Healthy. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I do because you know how much I sleep. I don't sleep. Oh,
he do sleep like 2 hours a night.
I eat crap a lot because you know now that you have kids you tend to eat whatever you can get your hands on.
He eats crap because he sleeps 2 hours a night.
Yeah, so it's like in addition to not sleeping well to give your body some rest and then eating whatever you want and then just overworking yourself, those are all recipes for disaster. So overall I was just like I need to change something in my life.
Delicious recipes, but disastrous nonetheless.
So eventually you know he was like, all right, I'll help you out. So you know he came up with this awesome plan for me. I started following it the very first day. There was a so like his diet that he worked up for me was like a mix of everything. Like you know you hear about the keto and the low carb diet and this and that. Essentially, it's like eating lean proteins but cutting out like your portions and carbs and eating more vegetables. That
everything I said that I did without a fancy catchphrase.
Yeah, so I did that, but then in addition to all that, and there's a science aspect. So he's like, "I want you to take certain supplements." So he gave me a shopping list. I went out, bought everything. So I started taking it on day one. Fucker, he had a typo on the nutrition list where like I don't know if you're familiar with the MCT oil with the keto diet. Like instead of taking, you're only supposed to take like a tablespoon of that shit.
Taking like 1,000 milligrams of estrogen. Something.
He fucking wrote down by accident 1 cup of it. So instead of taking a tablespoon
that's a huge correct difference. Cup incorrect.
So and then that's the first thing in the day. So every morning I have to take a tablespoon, or actually, yeah, it's a tablespoon
a so day.
Every morning I have to take a tablespoon of this thing mixed with like my coffee, which I don't drink coffee. So I was drinking it straight up with that. I think that morning I drank it with like tea or something
through his pee hole.
So I took a cup of this fucking MCT oil
and I was fucked up, man. I don't know if you guys know.
When he says oil, it's actually oil.
Think about just taking a cup of oil and pouring it down. So it lubricates everything in your system. So imagine how often I was on the shitter.
Gotcha.
Like, I was on the shitter literally, and I'm not exaggerating here, every 8 minutes. Like, I would sit down.
That's a lot, dude.
And then all of a sudden, I feel the pain coming back.
Yes, like, that's what he's trying to
say. And then, like, your butt should have been bleeding by then.
Surprisingly, if you're shitting every eight minutes. Surprisingly, it was not bleeding. But because I took that in addition to all these other supplements, I was shitting like neon. Like, so everything that was coming out of me was neon.
Are we talking about Simpsons neon intro?
It was very neon.
Nike
like,
Volt.
Like, think about it's very
Seattle
Nike
Seahawks
Volt.
Coming out of his asshole.
What color of neon is
like
this?
Like, think of like yellow highlighter.
Oh god.
Like that.
It looks like Marshawn Lynch is running out of his asshole like on a sprint at the goal line.
Because of the amount of oil, I wasn't pissing anything. It was just neon coming out of my ass.
What you didn't realize, you were peeing out of your ass.
Yeah, basically.
How long did you let this go before you're like, hey, guy, I feel like this shouldn't be happening.
It was like within the first 40 minutes, I was laying on the ground.
So five times at that point.
So I took it in.
I did the math.
So basically, you're supposed to take this. Give it about 40 minutes and then go work out. Start your day, go work out, go to the gym. I went to the gym. I was sitting there as I was lifting. I was like, something is not feeling like normal. But I was like, it's the first day of my diet. You know, it's probably the supplements I'm taking.
There's a puddle under the squat rack.
I was just like, to be safe, I think I'm just going to drive home while I'm feeling kind of weird, not totally weird. So I started driving. And on my drive home, I was like, oh, something's not right. Like my body has never felt this way. The minute I got home, I just ran. I just booked it to the toilet, and it was just like neon. And then I was like, that was weird. But it wasn't painful yet. It was just like weird.
Did you slide in the first and feel something burst?
But after the first hour, that's where the pain just like, it just felt like someone was like stabbing you in your gut over and over. And then every 8 minutes, you just have to go let out some neon.
That sounds terrible.
And it wasn't even like, I'm not even being disgusting. Like, it was,
are you trying to be a shock jock every episode that we do?
It wasn't poop, but it was just, I swear to God, it was just, so if you ever look into like just cleanse and you're up for taking the pain, take a cup of this MCT oil. By the end of the day, though, you'll be empty. You'll be completely empty.
Here's the thought: don't drink oil. Just
or not.
Don't drink a fistful of oil. It just seems counterintuitive to me.
I was pissed off though that day. I wrote him some nasty stuff over email. Just like,
did you write it in neon?
that would have been funny.
That would have illustrated the point.
Look at this.
This isn't highlighter. I wasn't taking notes. It's my butthole. Oh, God.
That was pretty bad.
They're rough. Did you get that month for free?
No, I paid for it.
Oh, my God.
But, I'll give him credit. By the end of the month, after he corrected the typo, like, it worked. Everything was great.
Once the seepage stopped. Good God.
But I'm telling you, if you're in desperate need of cleansing, take a cup of maybe just like 3/4, maybe, or a half a cup. Start with half a cup, and then I guarantee you by the end of the day, it might be slightly painful, but by the end of the day, you'll be like all cleansed.
I feel like there are less painful ways to do this that just involve drinking juice or something. You know what
I
mean?
No, I mean, you hear about these cleansing plans where these chicks,
I don't think this is what they entail in a cleansing
plan.
They
put all this effort into make all these like variety of smoothies, and they have to take it like 3 times a day and then log this, log that. No, just take a half cup of this oil in the morning.
Just drink a can of Penn's oil and you're all good.
And you don't even need a whole week of cleansing. You need one day.
You just need 40 minutes on the shitter because you're going to shit 5 times, evidently.
What is it they say on shows sometimes when they're like, this is the opinion of just one person and not the entire panel?
The views expressed by Ice on this episode is not reflective of the Bat Slant podcast in general. So please, we need a disclaimer. We totally
try it.
We need to run this every time you start talking, because I swear to God, it's sexism, it's misogyny. Now it's just vulgarity on the likes of which we've not seen on the show before.
I'm sharing knowledge so you don't end up taking a cup yourself.
You're 3/4 of a cup. Just
if there's anything that you're doing that is of benefit to the listening audience, it's just telling us what not to do on a regular basis.
There you go. I'm helping you out.
Yes. Don't.
Question anytime someone tells you to take a cup of oil, MCT oil, say no.
It's like, I don't know, man. I'm not used to drinking 5W30.
Our limit was 3/4. So.
Yeah. Can we measure that out? I don't know, man. That weight seems off. I think we're not elite level athletes. Guys who are probably smart enough not to drink motor oil are probably getting signed by the professionals in the National Football League.
Oh yeah,
we've seen a lot of that happen in the last couple of weeks. You see that seamless transition.
I was gonna comment on the segue there, but you just did, so I don't have to. That was unbelievable.
Just dunked on him with that good segue.
That's nice.
Yeah, these guys don't need our help when it comes to fitness. We started this podcast being relative sports fans. We've tried to weave our way back into the sports realm every here and there, but this is one of those times of the year where you really can't avoid it. So there's the NCAA tournament, but free agency in the NFL is kind of what's carrying the day of late. And we're Redskins fans first and foremost. We hate the team, but we're still fans.
Yep.
But they're trying. I really sincerely think they're trying. They may not be smart about it, but they're still trying, and they made a move this week that I think should pique the interest of fans, in that it doesn't speak to
which one.
Primarily the signing of one Landon Collins.
Okay.
We didn't talk about Case Keenum.
I thought you were talking about that one.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
He's Colt. He's younger Colt. That's who he is. No, but the Redskins, they signed Landon Collins from the Giants. And anytime you can fuck up another team's mojo, their chemistry, by taking away from their personnel and adding them to your roster. And
they're in the same division.
Yeah, a division. It kind of amplifies the effect. The guy's young. Like, he wanted to be a Redskin before he was drafted like four years ago. So
no way.
Yeah, he's a big Sean Taylor fan. Huge.
I heard about that, but I didn't.
Huge.
Oh, interesting.
Huge. He's going to be huge. Fan. The biggest. He's the best fan. He's good, strong, successful.
Hence why he wears 21, right?
There you go. Yeah, so that.
Although
that
he should not wear it with the Redskins.
He won't.
Did you hear about that?
What?
Like, that they're, I guess...
They're petitioning to get him the jersey number?
It's not officially retired, but...
It should be retired.
Yeah, it really should. But,
what are we doing here?
As a gift, I guess Snyder, he had two...
Gave the autographed one.
Yeah, he had two Taylor jerseys, and he actually gave him one of the two that he had signed.
Autographed.
And I think Landon Collins has been quoted out in the media saying that it would be an honor to be the first player to come to the team to rock 21, which I think it would be a huge honor. But it's like, that's sacred grounds, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't see it. I don't agree with it.
Yeah. I mean, if there's ever the case where you're going to retire a number outright, Ring of Honor. Yeah. this guy has influenced a generation of players. The likes of which I didn't really like, being so close to the fan base, like, you really don't understand the impact that he had outside of this area and across the league and this next generation of players. So I think it's a big deal if they even consider the idea. But I mean, we'll do this real quick. We're coming up on time. But do you like the idea that are we seeing the return of the big money days with the Redskins? Because it's weird in that they threw money at this guy, but they don't have that much money to spend. But I mean, are you excited for the prospect of Dan opening the pocketbook and trying to get some big names back up in here?
I was digging a little bit deeper into the details of this whole deal with Collins.
And it's a good freaking deal.
It's like 84 million, right? Something like that.
Yeah,
that's the headline.
That's the headline. Yeah. So on paper, for a player, I think it's great for him and other folks, other safeties in the league. But what's actually genius on the Redskins' part is somehow they
they got him a deal where technically his salary for the first year is only $1 million with the
$4 million cap hit,
with the 15 signing bonus. So to him, okay, the signing bonus makes up for that smaller salary, and then over the time, over the next few years, his annual salary bumps up a little bit more. So that's how he starts getting the number. But to him, all he cares about is that big, I got this huge contract, yeah, you know. So, but to Redskins, it's a really smart deal because it doesn't have a huge impact on them.
I mean, is he guaranteed a certain amount? I don't really know.
The guaranteed number they said was $45 million, but it's not even a fully guaranteed $45 million. It, like, there are caveats to that. And again, on top of that, you mentioned like the base salary. It's only going to cost $4 million against the cap for the first year. For a team that only had like maybe $10 million to spend going into the offseason, that's
so
freaking huge.
Pick him up, you know, at that, that's a steal, man.
Yeah. Where did that money come from?
Our pockets. Yeah, so when we buy a hat, when we buy that Paisano's pizza at FedEx, it goes straight to the pocket of one Landon Collins. Which, if he's good, I'd be happy to spend that money.
I've seen some of his highlight reels and stuff. Like, he has potential. Like,
I actually did. I remember the year. Well, the year that he was drafted was the same year that Brandon Scherff was drafted by the Redskins.
Okay.
So they had a high draft pick, but if they had the opportunity, which I think they would have had to do some maneuvering to get there, I was actually in favor of them drafting him that same year. It didn't pan out, but four or five, six, seven, goddamn, how many years is it? 4 years later, you know, he's a Redskin, lo and behold. So hopefully it works
and
out.
I had no idea that he actually wanted to come here. Like, I know he was a Sean Taylor fan, but I didn't realize he actually wanted to play for the Skins.
Everybody who's wanted to take a punter's head off has been a fan of Sean Taylor. Like he was the inspiration for all those kids. So, nice. I mean, it's awesome. Like, again, it's something you take for granted in that we're so close to the situation. Like, Sean Taylor was like our guy, but we're kind of in this little bubble. We don't really see like what that impact is beyond that. And, you know, we see it now. We got guys who are all pros that wanted to be Sean Taylor growing up. So it's kind of cool.
He was also a big Clint Portis fan, I believe.
CP.
Nice.
You mean Scherff gonna get you?
So he really is a Redskins fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think having an affinity for those players made him a Redskins fan. Like having those two guys, they were like lightning rods. They were guys who attracted a lot of attention, drew a lot of water around the league. So, you know, they were big names. It makes sense that guys gravitated towards him. And not to mention, the Redskins were kind of good then. Right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Joe Gibbs era.
Yeah. I listen to the Santana Moss podcast, and every now and then he goes into some of these like classic
sounds
stories
like fun
of just like the days with Sean Taylor and Clinton Portis and all that.
Like the time they drank Hennessy before they went onto the field. That's a great story.
Man, there's so many great stories in his show. Like, I mean, there's a lot of times where they talk about like, you know, the current things, but then anytime he reaches back and talking about like the inside stories of like what goes on like outside the locker room or just like off the field, it's all cool stuff. And you know, it just makes you realize, like, you know, these guys, like him, Portis, you know, Taylor, they're really close, man. Like, they're looking out for each other, and then it's kind of cool, man.
Taking the Griffin year out of the calculus, that was the last time it was really fun to be a Redskins fan
back then.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that Sean Taylor's the only Redskins jersey I own and would ever wear, because
you're a miser.
Dude, like, who else are you gonna buy?
Daryl Green.
That means I gotta get Mitchell Ness. I ain't dropping $250 on a Mitchell Ness Daryl Green jersey, man.
Those
Come
prices
on, man.
Coming down, baby. They're coming down.
You know, and then it's like, you know, I can't honor Daryl Green by getting a Chinese knockoff, right? So you gotta get like the OG.
But he'll spend $250 on a pop.
I've never spent $250 on a pop. I have spent $200.
Sell a cause pop and get you a Daryl Green. They got a Daryl Green vinyl pop?
No, man.
Is that a thing?
Honestly, the only Redskin they have is RG3.
Oh, wow.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah, I know. I have that one.
Yeah.
Of course. Jesus, I'm in the minority here.
Well, because it was the first Redskin pop.
Yeah.
And, like, regardless whether... Like, I was going to buy it regardless whoever the player was, but it was the first Redskins pop.
You could say that Redskins pop flopped. All right. Well... Here's hoping there's going to be another pop in our future. I don't know if Landon Collins is going to be that guy, but hopefully
hope so.
Hopefully that's the start of something good because, you know.
Let's just make the old ones. Art Monk. Yeah. You know, Dave Clark.
That would be smart.
Chip Low Miller. I've always wanted Chip Low Miller pop or jersey or something.
That was my dude growing up. I used to try to impress like elementary school girls by pretending to be Chip Low Miller. It didn't pan out.
I mean, this is the thing, right? Like, yeah. I don't have kids. He was a kicker. But if I had a son, I would, or daughter if they want to get into the NFL. Like, I'm not. Kicker. You know, whatever. Yeah. Dude, there's so much money in that. They get 15 to 20 years in the league. You know, if you train them as a kid to kick like 60-yard field goals, that's guaranteed money.
And right? Their money is long as
that's all they do. That's guaranteed, right? You never get hit. Your longevity in the league.
Oh, I wouldn't say never.
Well, not never, but you know what I mean.
There's a good chance you won't get hit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get hit.
But I mean, imagine if you can consistently hit 60-yarders. I mean, that's guaranteed $5 million a year. Easy.
Bro, people can't hit 30 yards, let alone 60 yards. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
Put them in soccer. Start there. Then they could be the next Chip.
Why don't we start off being kickers? We should, instead of playing all these other sports, just like, I'm going to go out and just be the best kicker I can be.
Because you want to be black. We grew up in Arlington.
Yeah, no one wants to be the kicker, man.
No one wants to be that pale guy running laps alone.
But there's money in it, but no one wants to be the kicker. You know?
Exactly. Man, we should be kickers.
There's times, I can't remember who I was having this conversation with, but I was telling them, like,
not a kicker.
I would love to be a bench warmer on an NBA team. Like, I don't want to play. I just want to be, I want to work out with them. I want to be the scrub on the team.
It's like the hardest job in sports.
Yeah. And then, like, I don't even
real
mind.
Real lofty
like,
goals being said here.
No, and then, like the hardest one to get. Because like, the lineup is what, like 12 people? You know what I mean?
And I don't even need to, like, you know, like, you can tell, like, the deep bench, they don't even come dressed in their unis. Like, they wear warm-ups, and they stay in their warm-ups the entire game. Like, I'm fine with that. Just let me sit on the end of the bench and get my money.
I feel like I'd at least want to be a long snapper. You know, like, put me on the field at least. If I'm going to be here, you know what I mean? At least let me do something.
Hey, the Redskins long snapper is a much deeper guy.
Dude, they get paid, man.
Like, and the guy they had recently was really good. Like, he's all pro level long snapper.
I feel like the top paid long snapper in the league makes it like $5 million a year.
Can you imagine that? You're just
that's
like,
a little high. I'm you gonna, think so? That's a little high.
I'm gonna Google this because Google's obviously right.
Google's your friend. While you Google, we're gonna put a stop to this podcast right here, right now, as we devolve into whether or not it's more advantageous to be the 12th man on an NBA bench or the kicker for an NFL football team.
No, a long snapper.
Long snapper. My apologies, mea culpa. Well, if you slogged your way through this, we appreciate it. Hopefully, next episode won't involve so much diarrhea talk. But Brian, thanks again for coming out.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Are you taking selfie?
3.5 million.
Oh, okay. So you're only off by 1.5 mil.
That's still pretty good.
That's a pretty good wage.
Wait, actually, Bo Brinkley makes 5.75 million.
Damn. You know what?
Okay, so there's a guy the Redskins signed this year when their long snapper went down. He was married to Olympic gold medalist Sean Johnson. The gymnast.
Oh. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, you don't remember the guy, but I mean, you remember the girl, right?
Yes.
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 Hot fire. So.
Spit hot fire.
So, salary aside, there are other perks to being a Division I professional level athlete.
I would definitely, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. We're gonna use a Google machine for that afterwards. All right. Well, thanks again for tuning in for this episode. Jack, maybe we'll see you next week. I don't know.
You've been replaced.
Let's hope.
Yeah,
you know, just sit the rest of the year.
You know what?
I am signing a contract as we speak.
You tell us when you want to come back, Jack. All right, but
he's our long snapper.
Yes, precisely. well.
I don't even know what that means.
I really don't even know either. Like, just stop me dead in my tracks. All right, tune in next week, guys. Maybe we'll have the full show. Maybe Brian will cement his position here now. Yeah. Until then, tune in next week. Thanks, guys.
That's what's up.
Later.